Please open your Bibles to the book of 2 Peter, chapter 3, the third chapter of 2 Peter in your Scofield Bible, page 1319. We're beginning with the 10th verse and reading through the end of the chapter. We'll read these verses responsively. The 17th verse is the text verse for this evening's message. Once more, 2 Peter, chapter 3, verses 10 through 18, and in your Scofield Bible, page 1319. Let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, brethren, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. And together on the 18th verse. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, if we could know your mind, then we could realize, I'm sure, that you have a purpose for our being here tonight. Individually, you have a purpose. You've brought together many, many people from many places. We're thankful to be here. Most of us have made a habit of being here, service after service. Once again, we want your blessing. Once more, meet with us in power. Once more, we pray for thy blessing and power upon our preacher. And may that purpose that you had in mind, even before this day was made, before this earth was made, probably. Help it to be realized. Help it to be fulfilled in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to speak tonight on the subject, one word. My title is Oops. Oops. That's just the word. I want to read for you again the passage of Scripture that we read a while ago, and is my text. I can find it. Second Peter is somewhere in the Bible. Here is what it says. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall, there's the word, fall from your own steadfastness. I'm going to ask you to listen to me carefully as I give you a very logical message tonight that deals with one word, the word oops. It's spelled O, oops, or O, oops, but I'm going to speak tonight on that one word. Have I prayed yet? Let's pray. Father, help me as I speak tonight, and I pray you to help those who are here to share in this message. May tragedy be averted and avoided, prevented. in many of our lives because we've come tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to make three main statements. Look right this way. Nobody looking any other way but this way. Right this way. A Christian, any Christian, can fall. Any Christian, that includes you, includes all of us. Any Christian can fall. Proverbs 24:16, a just man falleth seven times, yet riseth up again. That means a just man can fall. In 2 Peter 3:17, our text, beware lest ye fall. In James chapter 1 and verse 2, it speaks about when ye fall into temptation. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 11, it says, lest any fall. And then in 1 Timothy 3:7, it says, lest he fall. The list of men in the Bible who fell is like a hall of heroes or hall of fame. David, the man after God's own heart, fell. Peter, the best Christian in all the world at one time, the man chosen by Jesus to be the first listed in all the list of the apostles. There's no list of the apostles where but Peter is the first one listed. He was the spokesman for the apostles. When the three of the inner circle were chosen, it was not John and Peter and James, or James and John and Peter, or James and Peter and John. No, it was always Peter, James, and John. He was the best Christian in his day, and yet he fell. Noah fell, the man who had enough faith to build a boat and never had rain yet on the face of the earth because God said to do so. The man who spent 120 years building that boat preparing for a rain that had never come before. Noah, pardon me, fell. Lot fell. Lot, who grew up in the best home in the world at that time. He had the best mother and father of anybody in the entire world. And Lot fell. Abraham fell. Abraham, the father of the faithful. The man who had such faith in God, he left the Ur of the Chaldees not knowing where he was going, just looking for a city which had foundations, whose builder and ruler is God. Abraham fell. Samson fell. It was said of Samson, more than of anybody else in the Bible, that the Spirit of the Lord God came upon him. Samson has become sort of a joke because he was big and strong, and we sort of, in fact, there's nothing in the Bible says he was big. He may have been like Jorgensen. I don't think he was, but we know he was strong, and his strength was in his hair. That's where my strength is also, by the way. But Samson was a great Christian, and he just may have been, at the time when he first became a judge, he just may have been the most powerful man in the whole world as far as God's concerned. But Samson fell. Thomas, who gave his life in martyrdom on a mission field in India, Thomas fell. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, the man who no doubt was more like Jesus than any other man in the entire Bible, and there are more things in common in his life that would seem to be types of Jesus than any other man, I think, in the entire Bible, Jeremiah fell. Hezekiah, who was one of the three best kings that ever sat on the throne of Judah, Hezekiah fell. Balaam, the greatest preacher of his day, the most famous prophet of his day, Balaam fell. Jonah, who preached the greatest revival known to mankind. Billy Sunday never preached a revival as successful as Jonah preached. Dwight L. Moody never preached a revival as successful as was Jonah's revival in Nineveh. And yet Jonah fell. John Mark, who stood beside the Apostle Paul in his last days in jail, and who was chosen by God to write one of the four Gospels, the book of Mark, John Mark fell. Jacob, who was later to become Israel and become a prince with God, and after whom the entire nation was named that is till this day. When you talk about the nation of Israel, you're talking about Jacob. Jacob fell. Saul, the greatest man in all the kingdom at the time of his anointing, he stood physically and morally and spiritually head and shoulders above all the people of Israel.
And it was said of Saul numbers of times that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. King Saul fell. Solomon, the wisest man in all the world. Solomon, known for his wisdom around the world. Solomon fell. And nearly every week of my life and every week of your life, we hear of some Christian, good Christian, maybe a leader even, in a preacher, or a deacon, or a Sunday school teacher, or someone who shocks us because they have fallen. So I'm saying, falling is a possibility for every single child of God. Now the first word of my outline tonight is the word fall. But let me say this. A long time before a fall comes, there's something else that comes. And that's a slide. A slide. The Bible says in Psalm 26 and verse 1, David talks about a slide into sin. In Psalm 37 and 31, David talks about his steps sliding. And David dead sure knew what he's talking about. You see, you don't all of a sudden go into sin. You slide, and then the last step is the fall. I almost call my sermon title tonight, It's Not a Long Fall. It's not a long fall. Because you fall, you have been sliding for a long time. And David talks about his steps sliding. In Jeremiah 8 and 5, it says, Jerusalem was slidden back by perpetual backsliding. Before Jerusalem fell, she was sliding. In Hosea 4:16, for Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. We're not talking about an ERA kind of heifer now. We're talking about an animal, a moo kind of heifer. We're not talking about anybody that lives in the White House either. We're talking about, you're judging me now. Anyway, we're talking about a moo kind of a heifer. And the Bible says that Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 35, it says, their foot shall slide in due time. So a long time before a person ever falls, and anybody can fall, something else happens, and that is a slide. The fall is the last part of the slide when you actually go into what we call deep sin, where your life is perhaps wrecked or ruined. But I want to tell you this, if you don't slide, you won't fall. I say if you don't slide, you won't fall. I say, if you don't slide, you won't fall. If you don't want to fall, then don't slide. The Bible talks about the slide. Let's look for a minute at the Apostle Peter's slide into sin before he fell. A long time before Peter fell, the fall means you go to the bottom. But you don't go to the bottom like that. You go like that toward the bottom. Here is the Apostle Peter, slide number one. Jesus said, somebody is going to betray me. And Peter said, not me. I'm ready to go to prison and to death with you. Now, the minute you say it can't happen to you, it's about to happen to you. That was the first step. You ought to run scared all the time. And so Peter's first slide was when he said it couldn't happen to me. Now, slide number two. Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. And while he was praying, Peter was sound asleep. Remember when Jesus came back and said, couldn't you pray with me for 1 hour? I'm saying that was slide number two. Listen, you stop your prayer life and you're headed for a fall. I'll guarantee you that one of the first things that'll cause anybody to eventually fall is when you stop your prayer life. Now you listen to me. You better pray every day, and you better pray quite a bit every day. You're not so all fired strong with what you can make it without praying. I'm saying that I've talked to hundreds and hundreds of preachers who've fallen and wrecked their lives and destroyed their ministry, and almost everyone said it started when I left my prayer closet. And ladies and gentlemen, if you don't have time to do everything else in life, you take time to pray. Take time to pray every day and put your prayer time on the top of your priority list. If you don't have time to read the paper, forget the paper and pray. If you don't have time to pray and watch the television set, turn the dumb box off and pray. If you don't have time to pray and go play on the bowling league, quit the bowling league and pray. I'm telling you, the greatest sin in this room tonight is prayerlessness. How did Peter fall? First he slid. He fell But before he fell, he slid. Slide number one. He thought it couldn't happen to him. Slide number two. He prayed. He slept during prayer. Slide number three. He followed afar off. He sat in the mezzanine on the very back row. When there are seats up here on the front row where he could sit, he was sitting way back in the back row, as far back as he could. And if we had seats across the street, you'd sit over there across the street. Brother, that's not the way you stay close to God. Stay where the action is. He followed afar off. And that's slide number three. Brother, I'm not saying everybody can sit down in the front, but I'll tell you what, if there's a seat in front of you tonight, up there in the mezzanine somewhere, if there's a seat in front of you and you're hiding back there somewhere reading a book or writing a letter to your boyfriend, in the first place, you're not right with God. In the second place, you're headed for a fall one of these days. There is not a person in this room who doesn't need preaching. And that's why I stop occasionally and say, listen to me. Listen to me. Why? Because every child of God needs preaching. And let me give you a verse of Scripture. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. That's not talking about pleasing God by foolishness of preaching to get people saved. It says save those that believe. Those that already believe. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save your neck from wrecking your life. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to keep you straight. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to keep you on the narrow path and keep you from falling and keep you from sliding. When God said it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe, He's not talking about getting unsaved folks saved. He's talking about saving saved people and saving their lives for usefulness for God. So, slide number two, he followed afar off. And let me say it again, brother, I want to be where the action is. Some of you folks, if you went to the Super Bowl, you'd want to sit in the restroom, watch it on television. And your problem, you folks, I'm not talking about folks that have to sit in the mezzanine. I'm talking about folks hiding back there when you could be sitting toward the front. You say, you're talking about me? Yes, I'm talking about you. I'm simply saying your problem is you're not very interested in church. Preaching doesn't interest you very much. This choir special didn't interest you very much. And by the way, let me just say a word tonight about those that walk out during the invitation on Sunday morning. Hey, there's some action going on. Stay where the action is. He followed afar off. Slide number one. He said it can't happen to me. Slide number two. He slept during prayer. Slide number three. He followed afar off. Slide number four. He sat down with the enemy. He had lunch with people that are critics of the church. He sat down with the enemy. He sat down with the enemy. He sat down with those that hated Jesus. He sat down with those that hated the New Testament church. He sat down with those that hated the soul-winning apostles. That was slide number four. Slide number five, he warmed with the devil's fire. Slide number six, he denied Jesus. And let me tell you something, brother. You go right ahead and follow afar off. Hey, you folks that don't like to stay for the invitation time, you folks that don't like to see people baptized, in the first place, you're not right with God. The house, aren't you afraid you're supposed to chase somebody off? They're leaving anyhow. They paid their dues for the week. They've come to church and dropped a little dollar in the offering plate and listened to or slept during a sermon. And now they want to get to Tebow's or McDonald's or Rally's before anybody else does. I'm saying, Peter fell, slay him because he slid. Slide number one, it can't happen to me. Slide number two, sleeping during prayer time. Slide number three, he followed afar off. Slide number four, he warmed the devil's fire. You don't like this preaching, you're already way down here on the list somewhere. Slide number six, he denied Jesus. Let me prove it. You folks that don't stay for the invitation or baptism on Sunday morning, how many folks did you talk to about Jesus last week? You folks that are sitting so far back you can't even see me when you could sit where you can see me, how many folks did you talk to about Jesus last week? Do the folks where you work ever hear you talk about Jesus? I mean, he said it couldn't happen to me. He quit his prayer life. He followed afar off, sat down with the enemy, warmed with the devil's fire, and denied Jesus. And slide number 7, he denied the faith. Slide number 8, he denied the church. What church do you go to? Oh, Protestant. The press asked Wes Miller if Hiles was financing his campaign. Not $1 has come from my pocket to his campaign. Well, I did give him back the dollar he gave me offering last Sunday. But anyway, they asked him, why did you come to Hammond? And Wes Miller said to the press, Hammond Times, he said, I came to pastor school one year and decided I wanted my family up here. I came because of First Baptist Church, and I needed the preaching at First Baptist Church at Hammond. But you folks that are falling afar off, what do you say? Say, what church do you go to? I'm Protestant. What kind of Protestant? I'm Baptist. What kind of Baptist? Well, just Baptist. Well, what church do you go to? Hammond Baptist. Tell them what church you go to. I go to First Baptist Church at Hammond, and I'm proud I go to First Baptist Church at Hammond, but I'll bind you one thing, brother. You go ahead and say it can't happen to you, then you sweetheart, you should be praying, and you follow afar off and warm with the devil's fire, and before you know it, you'll be ashamed of your old-fashioned hellfire and damnation fundamental independent Baptist church, and you'll be ashamed of the name of Jesus. Slide number 9, he cursed and swore. Slide number 10, by the way, I want to say this. Anybody curses and swears needs to get right with God. There's a certain kind of an attitude among fundamentalists, some in America. It's okay for us to curse if we're cursing the liberals, and that's not true. You can't get by without using curse words, then shut up. And then slide number 10, he went back to the old life. Slide number 11, took his clothes off, naked, went fishing. Back to the old business, fishing. Slide. Now he's fallen. But he wouldn't have fallen if he hadn't been sliding. Where are you on the slide? Where are you on the slide? You think it can't happen to you? Your prayer life is pitiful. Following afar off. You don't get excited. In fact, you criticize these fellows who are getting excited. Warming at the devil's fire? Let me just put it this way. Get more excited about Michael Jordan than Jesus Christ? You go to a basketball game, Michael is playing. He scores 55 points. I wish I could sit beside some of you folks and criticize the folks get happy here. Oh, Michael Jordan's playing, and I could say to you, I can't hear the game. Where are you on the slide? Where are you on the slide? Denying the faith, denying the Savior, warmed by the devil's fire, denied the church, cursed and swore. Look at Lot. Lot fell as far as a man can fall, but a long time before he fell, he slid. Watch him. Reared in the best home in the world. Reared in the home of the man who had more faith, the Bible says, than any man in the Old Testament. Slide number 1. Went to Egypt. Lot didn't have to go to Egypt. Lot was old enough to stay back in Canaan while Abraham went to Egypt. But Lot went to Egypt. Slide number one. Slide number two. When he got back from Egypt, he had liked Egypt so much, he wanted to own some land like Egypt. And Abraham said, choose the land that you want, and the well-watered plains down towards Sodom look like Egypt, so he chose the well-watered plains down towards Sodom. Slide number three. He then moved to Sodom. Step number four. He then pitched his tent towards Sodom. Step number five. He became involved in Sodom and became a part of Sodom's lifestyle. Step number six. When the queers came, two angels came. Angels in the Bible are male gender. When two angels came, they came to Lot's house. And the queers came and knocked on his door and almost knocked his door down. Let us have those men. Let us have those men. Let me tell you something, brother. That's not a natural lifestyle. That's filth and garbage and septic tank stuff. America's going to the devil because with the queers, it's just a way of a lifestyle. It's a filthy, vulgar, vile lifestyle. These queers were knocking his house doors down, trying to get to those angels so they could have sex with those angels. Lot had slidden so far. Hold it! Hold it! I mean, the whole bunch of them were knocking the door down. Let us have them! Lot said, hold it! Hold it! I've got two daughters! Listen, young people, I'm preaching to you. Hey, young folks, listen to me. I'm preaching to you. I've got two daughters, he said. I'll give you my daughters. What kind of a man is that? Lot did not sit down one day and say, I think I'll give my daughters to a bunch of queers. He first went to Egypt. He second decided he wanted to choose the well-watered plains. He then pitched his tent towards Sodom. He then moved to Sodom. And step by step by step by step, he was slid and slid and slid, and that's exactly the way people fall. Slide number one, he went to Egypt with Abraham. Slide number two, looked at the well-watered plains towards Sodom. Slide number three, pitched his tent towards Sodom. Slide number four, moved to Sodom. Slide number five, became involved in Sodom's lifestyle. Slide number six, offered his daughters to the queers. Slide number seven, escaped to Zoar, and his wife turned to a pillar of salt. Slide number eight, he drank wine. Almost every single person in the Bible that slides drinks alcoholic beverages somewhere along the line. Like Noah, he drank wine. Slide number nine, he got his daughters pregnant. Lot didn't say one day, I think I'll get my daughters pregnant. When Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom and chose the well-watered plains towards Sodom, he had every intention of rearing those girls like they ought to be reared. But you cannot be on the slide without someday getting down to the bottom. Several years ago, we had a contest. I weighed about 250 pounds then. I wasn't as cute then as I am now. You guys holler amen. When I want you to, when I need you, you sit there like the Arctic River, you're frozen at the mouth. So I told the primary children I'd go take them out to eat. So I took them over here to Burger King, this Lincoln overpass restaurant, Oasis. They had a Burger King there, and they had a little playground there. So I thought I'd show these kids how agile the old man was. So I climbed up there on that slide, and I got hung in it. I had a little tunnel up there at the top. I couldn't get in, I couldn't get out. I'll guarantee you one thing, brother. When you get on this slide, you go all the way to the bottom. These men fell. Before they fell, they slid. Hey, where are you on the slide? Wanting to live in a nicer area? Buying some property in a better climate where you can retire? Where are you? Choosing the well-watered plains toward Florida? See, somehow we have gotten a sense, or we won't face the issue and see how much we are like the men in the Bible that fell. Same was true with David. And we could go step by step through David's life, slide by slide. Same is true with Abraham. If we had time, we could go step by step how Abraham, before he fell, he slid. If we had time, we could go the same way with Noah and find how that Noah didn't all of a sudden get drunk and naked inside his tent. It was a slide before he fell. If we had time, we'd go step by step through Samson and show how that Samson could, before he fell, we could show how he had step by step, he had a slide. Story I used to tell. I think the man's name was Chuck Templeton. Chuck Templeton was at one time pastor of a great church, I think, in Canada. Almost sure it was. Successful pastor, and I would have considered him at that time a fundamental preacher. He decided to go into evangelism. He went into evangelism and was a good evangelist. He was so good, the National Council of Churches decided to offer him a job, employ him as their evangelist. He yoked up with the National Council of Churches and became their evangelist. When he did that, he sold his soul for less than 30 pieces of silver, because nobody should join up with a bunch of liberals. Later on, he quit evangelism, became a layman. Listen to me. Then he became a Hollywood script writer. I was sitting in a motel room and picked up the paper one day and read that Chuck Templeton was going to be interviewed. I'm almost sure this name is right. Is this the right name? And on a television channel. So I turned the channel on and watched him. Chuck Templeton said, "I am an atheist." Now, he did not go from pastoring a fundamental church in Canada to being an atheist. It was a slide. National Council of the Churches evangelist, going to liberal churches, going down and down and down and down and down. And I'm talking to a lot of people tonight who haven't fallen, but you're sliding. Wait a minute. Hold it. I said, number one, fall. Fall. I said, number two, nobody falls until they slide. But there's something that happens before a slide. Slippery places. Psalm 35:6 talks of a way that is dark and slippery. Psalm 73:18 it says his people were in slippery places. Now, folks, if you don't want to slide and fall, then stay away from slippery places. They got signs on the highway, and the sign doesn't say, "Don't fall in the ditch." Stein's sign says, "Slippery road ahead. Bridge may be slippery." They're not trying to keep you from having a wreck. They're trying to keep you from getting on a slippery place so you can have a wreck. And that's what my preaching's all about. I'm not just trying to keep you from sin. I'm trying to keep you from being on slippery places where you can slide and go into sin. The rules at Howells Anderson College and Hammond Baptist Schools are not just to keep you out of sin, they're to keep you away from slippery places. The devil's divine order, slippery place, slide, fall. Slippery place, slide, fall. That's the devil's divine order. Jeremiah 23:12. Their way shall be unto them as slippery ways. David. You know about David. David said, "When my foot slippeth." A long time before David ever had Bathsheba or ever killed Uriah, David was walking on slippery places. Psalm 94:18, the psalmist said, "My foot slippeth." So, What's the order of falling? Before you fall, it's oops. And by the way, listen carefully. You'll check in the Bible, and you'll find that more people fell when they were old than when they were young. Check it. Check how old Noah was when he fell. Check how old David was when he fell. Check how old Abraham was when he fell. Older people can fall easier than younger people on the ice. Slippery places, sliding, and falling. Some of you little high school students, well, I just don't see why the rules are so strict. Look, sweetie, we're trying to keep you off of slippery places. Our rules are not just to keep you from sin. Our rules are to keep you from being in a place where you could slip into sin. We're not just trying to keep you from falling. We're trying to keep you from sliding. And we're not just trying to keep you from sliding. We're trying to keep you from slipping. Stay out of the slippery places. Lot, you know better than take your family towards Sodom. You know that. Doesn't mean you're going in sin right now, but you're on slippery places. Living down here in Sodom is slippery. It's easier to fall and stumble and slide in Sodom than it is up here in Jerusalem, or up here in the land of Canaan, or up here in Judea. Lot, you know better than that. Don't take your family down there. Abraham, you know better than to take your family to Egypt. You know that Egypt in the Bible is not the place a Christian ought to be. You're supposed to stay there. You had enough faith to leave there, the Chaldees, to come here, and I hadn't got enough faith to stay here. You know better than that, Abraham. It's slippery down there in Egypt. Thomas, you know better than to miss church. When Jesus called the disciples together, or apostles together, you were always there. Now, Thomas, now that he's gone, the first Sunday, you had to go down fishing on the lake. You had to go see Grandma. Thomas, you know better. When you're out of church on Sunday, you're on slippery ground. David, you know better, David, and to hang around and loaf all day long. You know that's slippery. By the way, you folks that hang around, you young people, hang around them all. That's slippery. If you need to buy something at all, go buy it and go home. The hang-arounders. Have a little gang, gets in the car and just drives around. That's slippery. Go to some restaurant and just sit there a while. That's slippery. David, you know better. David, you know better than look at that naked woman. That slippery place. You know better than that. And you know better than to read Playboy magazine. And you know better than to go to the beach and watch a bunch of gals in bikinis where you can see 90% of their flesh. You know better than that. That's a slippery place. Samson, you know better than to put your head in Delilah's lap. That's slippery. Balaam, you know better than to sell out your ministry. Go down to line up with the liberals. That's slippery. Peter, you know better than run with the wrong crowd. Peter, when you're warming over there with the devil's fire, you're on slippery ground. When you're following afar off, it's slippery ground to follow far off. Peter, you know better than that. Get with God's people. Listen, any time you start running with those that are not God's people, you're on slippery ground. Judas, you know better than to carry that money bag. You know your temptation. When you took that office as being treasurer of the apostles, you got on slippery ground. Noah, you know better than to hang around the liquor bottle. You know better than to sit down at the bar. If you didn't intend to drink, you're at least on slippery ground. Let me tell you, some slippery places you ought not to hang around. One, the beach. Slippery place. Two, the mall, unless you're buying something. When you buy, go home. Three, Blockbuster Video. If you got a Blockbuster Video card, put it on the altar tonight. There's more hell comes out of that place than out of any tavern in Hammond, Indiana. Slippery ground. Skating rinks. Skating rink. Nothing more than dance halls on wheels. Slippery ground. Number five, a compromising church is slippery ground. Well, you say, I go with this girl from this liberal church. I go with her on Sunday morning, and she comes to me on Sunday night. You're walking on slippery ground. Because you're going to learn to like that liberal that calls Jesus Christ an illegitimate child of a whoremonger. You're going to learn to like that liberal that doesn't preach out of the Word of God that's been preserved word for word through the years. You're going to learn to like him because he's kind and gentle and sweet, and you're on slippery ground. What is slippery ground? Public school? What is slippery ground? Secular university dormitory? I don't care how good a Christian you are, you're not going to go to a secular university, a state university, or a secular university, and live in those dormitories for 4 years and come out without having fallen. You're not going to do it. What is slippery ground? Rock music crowd? Oh boy, I couldn't wait to get to this one. What is slippery ground? Slumber parties? Slumber parties. Unless you're going to slumber. When it's time to go to bed, kids ought to be home in bed. You know, the house. You never preached against that before. Well, I got a lot of things coming up with that are new. But I sit in my office and counsel with people who fall because they went to a slumber party. Why? I'll tell you why. It's slippery ground to stay awake all night. Well, I feel lonely all of a sudden. Are you guys for me or against me now? What is slippery ground? Company parties? What is slippery ground? Mixed swimming? As well say it, because I believe it. If you dealt with as many cases of incest as I do, you would suggest to your people that even the family does not go in swimming all together, male and female, the same family. Because I don't believe that. You would if you sat behind my desk and heard what I hear. What is slippery ground? Little League? Secular? Little League? What is slippery ground? I may as well go ahead and finish the list. Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts? What is slippery ground? The Lodge? Masons? Odd Fellows? Queer Fellows? Ladies and gentlemen, there's too much difference now between the world and this book for you to spend your life socializing in the heathen world. Oh boy, here goes. What is slippery ground? Nintendo parlors? I see them across the country. Nothing more than pool halls. What is slippery ground? Soap operas? What is slippery ground? Watching anything put out by Hollywood? What is slippery ground? Fellowship with critics? Fellowship with people that criticize this preacher and this church? You don't believe it? Look how you're sliding. How far you're slipping. What is slippery ground? Running with the wrong crowd to Howells Anderson College? Those that keep just inside the rules. That's slippery ground. What is slippery ground? Going with running the wrong crowd, Hammond Baptist High School? You know who they are. You know who they are. And it's slippery ground to run with them. What is slippery ground? A boy who touches you? Or a girl who lets you touch her? What is slippery ground? Practically all secular magazines. I don't even read Reader's Digest anymore. It's almost always got some kind of sex article in it. Well, you say, Brother Hiles, what can we read? Well, you say, what are the young folks going to read? What is slippery ground? Practically every Christian radio program on Christian station. What is slippery ground? Every Bible department at every Christian bookstore practically that I know. You say, that won't cause me to fall. It may not, but they have caused many to slip. And when you slip, you slide. And when you slide, you fall. If you don't want to fall, don't slide. If you don't want to slide, don't slip. If you don't want to slip, don't get on slippery ground. You say, Brother Hiles, what is non-slippery ground? Well, the altar is a pretty good spot. Church is a pretty good spot. A Christian home is a pretty good spot. Consequently, if it be true that nobody falls till they slid, and nobody slides till they slipped, and nobody slipped unless they're on slippery ground, it seems to me that our preaching ought to go back to the slippery ground rather than the fall. It seems the rules in our schools ought to keep you from getting on slippery ground rather than trying to keep you from falling. Here we are, Brother Ray. Here we are. Don't fall! It's too late, Buster. Stop him back up there. Stop him before he starts sliding. And stop him sliding before he slips. And make a bunch of rules that'll keep him off slippery ground. I often say this. You folks that don't believe in the rules at Howells Anderson College and Hammond Baptist Schools, if you sat with Dr. Jorgensen and Dr. Evans and Dr. Young, Boyd, and Sisson, and Vogel, and you heard what we hear, you'd believe in every rule we have. We're trying to keep you from falling. And we know the best way to keep you from falling is keep you from sliding. And we know the best way to keep you from sliding is keep you from slipping. And we know the best way to keep you from slipping is make slippery places off limits. If you don't slip, you won't slide. If you don't slide, you won't fall. And you won't slip if you'll stay away from slippery places. You truck drivers know what I'm talking about. You come up to a bridge, says slippery when wet, and you go your usual 85 miles an hour across that bridge, you're going to end up underneath that pile of oranges in the back of your truck. Looks like to me that the preachers ought to have as much sense as the highway department. Ice on bridge. Ice on bridge. They don't say it's against the law to have a wreck. Beware of wrecks. No, beware of ice. Because the ice causes slipping. Slipping causes sliding. And sliding causes wrecks. Shall we stand, please? You do what you ought to do while the choir sings.